he said if Brother Philbeck was here tonight, he would have said we needed more preaching. And from what I gather, he was supposed to be here preaching tonight. Ain't that right? Brother Philbeck was supposed to be here preaching. And I'll be honest with you, I wished he was here tonight. Amen. And but it's a joy to be here tonight. Amen. Looking forward to a good week in the Lord. And I'm going to trust that God will help us this week. Amen. And I'll hurry up and get out of the way. I'm looking forward to hearing from Brother Watson. And I love Brother Watson. He's my friend. And I appreciate this meeting. Amen. Brother Ledbetter, thank you, preacher, for the room. And everything is just top-notch at Calvary every year we get to come. And I praise the Lord for that. Amen. I want you to take your Bibles. I have wrestled about all day since 4 o'clock when I got the call that I was preaching today. And I told Brother Ledbetter, I said, I've had something on my heart and I can't get away from it. And I know some of you are going to be familiarized with this message tonight, and that's okay. And but when the Lord puts something in my heart I can't get away from, I'm going to preach it. And so I want you to take your Bibles tonight. Go with me to the book of 2 Samuel this evening. 2 Samuel chapter number 6 tonight. And I want you to ask the Lord to really search our hearts and to help us this week. And you pray that God would get the glory out of everything that's said, everything that's done tonight. And I appreciate the good hand of the Lord. Amen. All right, 2 Samuel 6 tonight. And let's stand as we read the Word of God this evening. And preacher, do you have a clock close by? I don't see one, and I didn't bring my phone up here. All right. 2 Samuel 6 tonight, and I want to be mindful and be respectful for Brother Watson to come after, and but I want the Lord to really help us tonight in this text. 2 Samuel 6, very familiar passage of the Word of God. And let's begin looking at verse number 1 tonight. And we'll read several of these verses and then we'll pray and then you can be seated. The Bible said in verse number 1, again David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Bel of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the Lord, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubims. They set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah, and Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drave the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God. And Ahio went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps, and on psalteries, and on timbrels, and on cornets, and on cymbals. They came to Nacon's threshing floor. Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. The anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, for God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, "How shall the ark of the Lord come to me?" So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David, but David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. The ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. I want to stop reading there for sake of time tonight, and you're going to pray with me tonight that God would open our hearts and God would help us tonight through His Word. And so let's ask God to meet with us, ask the Lord to do a work in our hearts through the Word of God tonight. So let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we come to you this evening thanking you again, Lord, for safety over the road today. God, thank you, Lord, for getting us all here safely tonight. And Father, it is no coincidence chance, and it is no accident, God, that we have come under this roof tonight, Lord, to expect great things from God this week. And so, Lord, I want to ask God tonight, Lord, as we have opened the Scriptures, I pray, God, that You would speak, and I pray, God, that You would, Lord, fill us with the Holy Ghost of God tonight. Lord, I ask God this evening, Lord, that You would help us to preach. I pray, God, that You would fill us, Lord, with that unction of, oh God, tonight that we so desperately need. And so, Lord, I pray that You would calm our nerves, God, tonight. I pray, God, that You'd give liberty, Lord, to preach what thus saith the Lord. And I pray, God, that we would be a help to Your people. And I pray, dear Father, tonight that You would receive glory and honor unto Yourself. And Lord, we're going to give You thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. I'm interested in looking at this text tonight, and I'm interested in looking at verse number 9, where the Bible said this, "And David was afraid of the Lord that day, and said," and he proposes a question here in the text. The Bible said, "How shall the ark of the Lord come to me?" Now, I want to preach on that thought tonight, on simply this truth, on somebody go get God. Somebody go and get God. Now we understand the text of the Word of God. This is a familiar text of the Word of God this evening. We understand that David here is after the ark of God according to the Word of God. And so in this text we find there are two different attempts of David going after the ark of God and trying his best to bring it back into the city of David. And so we understand tonight that the ark of God was no doubt mostly the most important piece of furniture that was there in the tabernacle in the Old Testament. We understand the ark of God represents the presence and the power of God. And so tonight I want to look at that thought in mind this evening, and I want you to notice a few things by way of introduction. You've got your Bibles, hold your place in 2 Samuel tonight, but look there with me real quickly over to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews chapter number 9 and verse number 4. We find the Bible said this, or verse 3, "And after the second veil, the tabernacle which is called the holiest of all," he said, "which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant." And so we know according to the book of Hebrews, I believe the Apostle Paul is the writer of the book of Hebrews, and he begins to tell us about the contents that on the inside of that ark. We understand that the ark in typology is a picture of the presence of God. We understand the ark also would picture salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, the Bible said this in the book of Psalms chapter number 40 and verse number 8. The Bible said, "Yea, thy law is written within my heart." And so when you begin to study the contents of the Ark of the Covenant of God, you begin to see that it's speaking of the obedience of Christ. We understand the manna which spake of the bread of life. Jesus even himself in John chapter 6 said, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." And so we understand that the Aaron's rod that budded speaks of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ according to the book of Numbers chapter 17. And so according to the Word of God, we know that the ark of God is a representation and it pictures salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. You will never have the presence and the power of God outside of being born again and saved by the grace of God. I'm glad, thank God, for June the 13th of 1995 as an 11-year-old little boy at Light on the Mountain Youth Camp when God passed by and saved me by the grace of God and changed my life. Thank God for the position that He placed me in. He placed me in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Christ. I say thank God tonight for true Bible salvation in Christ. Amen. So it pictures, no doubt, in the Word of God, the Ark of God. It pictures, no doubt, salvation. In Joshua 3, I believe that you can see that it's a picture of safety for the children of God. They would take that Ark of God, they would place it in the Jordan, and the Ark would go over, and therefore the children of God would follow after. Can I say the Ark of God is not just a picture of salvation, but it is a picture of safety for the child of God. I want to say tonight, the presence and the power of God is the safest place that any child of God could ever get in. Amen. And so we find in our text tonight, going back to 2 Samuel, we understand that in the Scriptures, the Ark of God, it pictures salvation. It does picture safety. But in Exodus 25 and verse number 11, or 22, the Bible said this, "And there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims, and upon which are upon the ark of the testimony of all things which I give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel." I want to say tonight that the Ark of God, it represents salvation. It not just represents salvation, it represents the safety that you have in the presence and the power of God. But can I say tonight that when you look at the Ark of God, it pictures the saturation of the presence and the power of God. Yeah, I believe this tonight. If we're going to see anything happen at the Smoky Mountain Youth Revival, it's going to come when God comes. We need the presence and the power of God. We cannot live outside of the power of God. We cannot live, amen, doing this thing in the emotions of our flesh. Somebody is going to have to go and get God. We've got to have the real presence of God. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, we can't fabricate it up. You can't sing it down. You can't preach it down. No, friend, it's going to take the child of God, amen, getting a heart that will be sanctified and a heart that will be pure. And somebody is going to have to go after God. Amen. Let me ask you a question tonight. Do you even have a desire to go after God tonight? Do you even have a desire to get what God wants for you to have this week? Amen. Pastor Ledbetter has prayed. This church has prayed. Other pastors have prayed. They're investing in you young people. And can I say it again? You young people tonight are important to us. We want to see God get on you. We want to see God get in you and get on you and do a work in your life this week. Amen. Somebody's got to go and get God. Oh, somebody, Brother Webb, somebody. Yeah, amen. It might be from Grace Baptist Church, but somebody in this meeting, if somebody don't go get God, it's just going to be a meeting that's in vain. We've got to have somebody go after God. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Somebody's got to go after God. Vance Havner said this. Listen to this quote. Vance Havner said this. He said, "The tragedy of today is that the situation is desperate, but the saints are not." Oh, are you listening tonight? The situation of getting the presence and the power of God is desperate, but the saints of God are not desperate enough to go after God. Amen. I want to look at this text tonight. I want to give you four things or five out of this text tonight. I'll try my best to be brief and try my best to help you out of this text tonight. Notice here with me, number one, notice back in the book of 2 Samuel 6. I want to look at these four different characters tonight. Truly, there's five that we could see in this text tonight about somebody needing to go after God. Amen. And I believe there's some application that can be made in the Word of God tonight. Notice here there with me. Number one, notice first of all, there is David that is mentioned in this text. Look at 2 Samuel 6 and verse number 1. Again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Bel of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God. You find in the parallel text of 1 Chronicles 13 and verse number 1, David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader. And David said unto all the congregation of Israel, if it seem good unto you, and that if it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in the land of Israel, and with them also to the priests and Levites, the Bible said, which are in the cities and suburbs, that they may gather themselves unto us. Now watch verse 3. And let us bring again the ark of our God to us. You say, preacher, what's going on here? David and them have lost the ark of God. David is desiring. Can I say something there tonight? Amen. You may be saved by the grace of God, but can I say it like this tonight? You're not going to lose the Christ that is in you, but you may very well lose the presence and the touch of Almighty God on your life. Amen. Notice the desire of David in this text. There's a desire that David has to go after the ark of God, to go after the presence of God. It's a very commendable desire that David had. He wanted to go after God. It was a very contagious desire that David had. He wanted all the people to go with him. May I say tonight, it is my desire to see the presence and the power of God here this week. I don't want to just see it for myself. I want to see it for our young people. I want to see it for your church and for mine. Amen. It's a commendable desire of David. David has a desire to go after God. May I ask you that question tonight? Do you even have a desire to go after God? May I say again this evening, we need to have a desire for the presence of God in our lives. Amen. Without the presence and the power of God, we might as well pack our bags and go back to the house. Amen. Without the touch of God, without the touch of God, the singing ain't going to mean anything. The choir singing ain't going to mean anything. The preaching ain't going to mean anything. Without the touch and the endowment of power of the Holy Ghost, there ain't going to nothing happen without Him. Amen. That's what John 15 said. For without me, you can do nothing. Amen. That's right. We can't do anything, amen, in the energy of the flesh. I say tonight, David has a desire to go after God. May I say tonight, you are to have a desire for the presence of God in your life. May I say it like this, there are many people that want the provision of God, but they do not want the presence of God. Amen, that's right. Many want the protection of God, but they don't want the presence of God. Many want pardon, but they do not want the real presence and the power of God. I'll tell you one reason I believe they don't want the real presence and the real power of God is because God's going to deal with their sin. Amen. Can I say it like this tonight? When you have a desire for God and somebody's going to go get God, may I say there's not just a desire for the presence of God in your life, but there is a desire for God's precepts in your life. Amen. I say the precepts of the Word of God. Thank God for Bible preaching. I appreciate a man of God who's going to put the preeminence on the preaching. Amen. Not because I'm doing it, not because you get to do it later on in the week. He don't put the preeminence on the singing, but he puts the preeminence on the Word of God, because if the Word of God is preached, I believe the presence and the power of God can fill the house. Amen. Amen. I'll say it like this. Many people want the flesh more than they want the fundamentals. Amen. Said many people want the flesh instead of the fundamentals. Amen. They'd rather put on a performance and a show than better yet to have the presence and the power of God. They try to fabricate the presence of God. They try to work it up, prime it up, push it up. They want to get it up here. Oh, unto God. May God help us, Brother Poindexter, to get where God is and get the real presence of God again. Amen. Somebody's going to have to make up their mind. Somebody's going to have to make up their mind that they're going to go after God. Somebody in this building, you're going to have to go after God. If there's any hope for your young people, somebody is going to have to go after God. Amen. It might be a young person in your youth group, but somebody has to go get God. Is that going to be you? Is that going to be you? Who's it going to be? Who's it going to be? Who's the key that's going to unlock the door of God's presence and God's power filling this place this week? David has a desire to go after God. May I say, if you're going to have that desire and you're going to get the presence and the power of God, it's going to be because you have the right beliefs. It's going to be because you have the right behavior. It's going to be because you've got the right banner. I'm simply saying, I'm not going to dip my colors for anybody. Not planning on changing. Not going to compromise. Amen. We've got an authorized Bible. Thank God for the Word of God. Hallelujah for the Bible that tells us what is right and wrong. Amen. Many want carnality more than they do their convictions. Amen. Many want carnality more than they do their convictions. Amen. I'm not dipping my colors for nobody. Amen. Thank God there's some things that settle deep in my soul that I'm not going to get shaken on. I'm not going to change. Amen. Thank God I ain't changing my Bible. I ain't changing my beliefs. I ain't changing where I stand. Thank God for a Bible that has taught me right. And thank God by the grace of God, I desire to stay right. Amen. Amen. Many people want more carnality in their lives. And can I say, we are living in a generation and we are living in a society to where there is so much emotionalism in the midst of services. Amen, preacher, amen. Amen, that's exactly right. I had made up my mind that I wasn't going to say nothing until the Holy Ghost brought it up. Amen, that's right. I'm not looking for hanging from the chandelier, running the aisle. Are you listening? I'm all for that if God's in it. But may I say, there are people that are pumping and priming and trying to bring the presence of God. And it ain't happening. It ain't happening. Oh my, help us, Lord. Can I simply say tonight, you ought to have a desire for God's presence and God's precepts. You ought to have a desire for God's purpose in your life. Amen. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying you ought to have a desire this week for the will of God to be performed in your life. Amen. Romans chapter number 12, verse number 1 and verse number 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You want me to tell you what the will of God is for your life? If you're not saved and you're lost in sin, it's to come to God and to get born again and get saved by the grace of God. But can I say tonight, as a saved child of God, you know what the will of God is for your life? I'll tell you what it is, according to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 18. And be ye not drunk with wine, where's excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That's the will of God for your life tonight. The will of God for our lives, Brother Wes, is to be filled with the Holy Ghost. That's not a charismatic doctrine either. That's a Bible doctrine to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Be filled with the Spirit of God. That's the desire of David. Notice, secondly, there's a deviation of Saul. Secondly, there's a deviation of Saul. Let me ask you a question tonight. Do you even have a desire such as David had to go after God? You have to answer that in your own heart tonight. It ain't up to the preacher. It's not up to the youth pastor. It's not up to even mama or daddy. It's up to you, young man, to go after God. It's up for you tonight to go where God is and get God on your life. Amen. It's your desire. It's your choice. Number two, look at this text of 1 Chronicles chapter number 13. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter number 13. Let me give you another thought or two out of this text in the Word of God. Look there with me, 1 Chronicles chapter number 13 this evening. And let me show you just a few more things. Notice Saul. Saul is not mentioned in the text of 2 Samuel 6. But he is mentioned in the parallel text of 1 Chronicles 13. Look at verse number 3. The Bible said this, "And let us bring again the ark of our God to us." So that tells us again they had lost the touch of God. They had lost the presence and the power of God. But watch this. The Bible said that David has that desire to bring the ark of God again. But notice what he said. "For we inquired not at it in the days of Saul." What was he talking about? According to verse number 3, the Bible said, "For we inquired not at it." That "it" is referring back to the ark of God. Saul did not even want the presence and the power of God. Matter of fact, I find in our King James Bible only one time that Saul ever went after the presence of God and that ark of the covenant. Are you listening tonight? You say, "Preacher, what are you saying?" I am simply saying tonight, according to the text of 1 Chronicles 13, verse number 3, there is a deviation of Saul that is mentioned in this text. He has now said, "You know what? I've seen the presence of God. I've seen the ark of God. But I do not want to inquire the presence of God." Matter of fact, look over there with me at 1 Samuel chapter 28. Hold your Bible open real quickly. Look at 1 Samuel chapter number 28. Let me give you a few verses here. Look at 1 Samuel chapter number 28. Watch this. There's a deviation of Saul in the Word of God. The Bible said, "And when Saul inquired of the Lord," watch this, "the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets." Prophets. Hold that verse very tight. The Bible said, "Nor by prophets." And so there we find, in the midst of a great national crisis of what's going on in the children of Israel, God would not answer Saul. Now watch this. Going all the way back to 1 Samuel chapter number 14. The Bible said this in 1 Samuel chapter number 14. The only time you ever find that Saul ever went after God, listen to this. 1 Samuel 14, verse 18. We'll skip some verses. "And Saul said unto Ahiah, bring hither the ark of God." Now watch this. "For the ark of God was at that time with the children of Israel. And it came to pass," watch this, "while Saul talked unto the priest, that the noise that was in the host of the Philistines went on and increased. And Saul said unto the priest, withdraw thine hand." Did you catch the text again in the Word of God? You say, "Preacher, what are you saying? Saul has deviated from the ark of God. He's went away from the presence of God. What happened? The Lord would not answer him. Why did the Lord not answer him?" I believe you'd have to go to 1 Samuel 22 and verse number 21, where the Bible said, "And Abiathar showed David that Saul had slain the Lord's priest."
So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying he deviated from the presence of God. And the reason he deviated from the presence of God, he's cut off the priest. You say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying it like this. When you cut off preaching, and you cut off your pastor, and you cut off the Word of God, and you say, you know what? I've heard enough. I don't want no more. I'm not going after God. I've heard enough of Bible thumping. I've heard enough about convictions. I've heard enough about standards. I've heard enough about preaching. I just don't think I'll go after God. That's exactly the shape that Saul got in. He had cut off some 85 men there at Nob, and he cut them off. Better be very cautious and very careful when you cut off the man of God. Because here's the thing, when you cut off the man of God, and you, amen, you better hear me well tonight. When you cut off the man of God, you are cutting off the voice that God is speaking to your heart through the Word of God. Amen, that's right. There was a deviation of Saul. He says, you know what? We're not even going to inquire about the presence of God anymore. You better be very cautious and very careful when your man of God gets up and he thunders the Word of God and he preaches that Bible straight to you. Amen. When he's preaching on standards, he's preaching on convictions. He's staying line upon line, precept upon precept, trying to get God on your life, but you cut him off. You're going down a dangerous path. Number three, stay with me. Look back at 2 Samuel 6. Let me finish up here in just a few minutes. Notice in 2 Samuel chapter number 6, stay with me. Look at verse number 6. The Bible said, and when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. You say, well, what's going on here, preacher? Uzzah knew better to do what he did. According to the book of Numbers, chapter number 4 and verse number 15, Uzzah knew not to put his hand to the ark of God. The Bible said this, if you touch it, you're going to die. It sounds like to me that when we look at the ark of God and we look at the presence of God and we look at not just the desire of David, a deviation of Saul, but there is a devastation in the life of Uzzah. You say, what's that devastation? Well, according to the text, what happens here in verse number 6? Can I say it like this? It was a privilege. The privilege was about the ark. Matter of fact, can I say, Uzzah walked in a very great privilege. Matter of fact, I say it like this. He lived in the home where the ark had been and where the ark had been kept for many a years. He knew all about the presence and the power of God. But yet, here it is. He disobeyed, and his disobedience caused a devastation in his life. Oh my. He knew better. Can I ask you a question tonight? Has your man of God ever preached on something? And I mean the Holy Ghost of God convicted you in your heart? And you knew that it was wrong? And so then, can I say it like this? You had been given light. You've been given light when the Holy Ghost of God has dealt with your heart and something has spoke to your heart. That means you've been given light in a situation, in an area of your Christian life that would hinder the presence and the power of God from being on your life. It's the same thing with Uzzah. He had been given light not to touch it or he's going to die. Can I simply say there have been pastors and preachers that have preached to you that have given you light and amen, given you light through the Word of God, but yet you refuse and you rebel against the Word of God and refuse to walk in that light. I promise you, you're headed down a road of devastation. When you refuse to walk in light, you are refusing, amen, to get the presence and the power of God on your life. Number four, I'm going to hurry along. Notice this in the text. Look at verse 16. Look at verse number 16. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, she looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. And the Bible said she despised him in her heart. You say, preacher, what are you saying? Well, can I say fourthly, There's not just a desire of David. And that's the desire that we should have tonight, is to go after God. Amen. The desire of my heart, amen. I've got some young people sitting back here from our church, and the desire of my heart is that God would get on them this week. Amen. That's right. That's my desire, Brother Ledbetter, as a pastor, is to see God's presence and God's power get on somebody. But then there's not just the desire of David. There's that devastation of Uzzah. There's a deviation of Saul. But there is a distraction of Michael. You say, well, preacher, what in the world distracted her? Well, notice where she is. She's at the house. The Bible said in verse number 16, and as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. Now stay with me. Look at 1 Samuel 19, and I'll be done here in just a moment. 1 Samuel 19, and listen at verse number 13. The Bible said this, and Michal, she took an image. Let me let you get there. 1 Samuel 19, verse number 13. And Michal took an image and laid it in the bed, and put a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster, and covered it with a cloth. Matter of fact, if you backed up to verse number 12, rather, the Bible said this, so Michal let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. What was he doing? Of course, the context is he's running from Saul for his own life, according to verse number 1. And Saul spake to Jonathan his son and to all his servants that they should kill David. So we know the context. Saul is trying to kill David. But here's what Michal done. The Bible said, Brother Poindexter, that she let him down through a window. That means to tell me that she's down at the house. Right? She's down at the house. David's going to get the presence and the power of God. But here's the truth, Brother Lindsay. He's going after the presence of God, the power of God, the touch of God. Amen. Michael's down at the house. David's out in the street. I mean, man, he's full of joy. He's full of gladness. He's jubilation over in his heart. He's enjoying the presence and the power of God. But Michael's down at the house. And she looks through a window, Brother Rackley. And this is what stood out at me. Down at the house, she had an image. She had an image. You say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm telling you what's going to distract every one of you this week from getting God on your life is the images that you've let in your life. You're going to have to junk everything in your life to get God on you. David's down there experiencing the presence of God. Michael's not experiencing nothing at the house. David, I know we don't go by feeling, but David's feeling the presence of God down there in the street. Michal ain't getting nothing at the house. Amen, amen. I'm telling you tonight, if you're going to have the presence and the power of God this week, you're going to have to junk every idol that you've got in your life. Because I'm going to tell you, there's idols that are basically distracting us from keeping us from the power of God in our lives. Here, let me help you with one. You ready? I'm going to help you with one. Amen. I'm going to help you with one right here. And I would almost guarantee you every one of you has got this idol in your life. Every one of us, including the preacher tonight, is sitting in your pocket. Amen. You want to tell you what will keep you from the presence and the power of God? Your cell phone. Technology has killed our generation. Amen. That's exactly right. Social media has killed our generation. You can't get off of Facebook for 5 minutes to spend 5 minutes with God in prayer. Amen. You hearing me tonight? I'm telling you, the idols have distracted this generation from getting to where God is. I ain't going to leave you high and dry without something good to say. But the truth of the matter is, I like this. Notice the delightfulness of Obed-Edom. Well, I like this. So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David, but carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. The ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months. The Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. Can I say this tonight? There's no telling if you'll go after the ark of God. There's no telling who it's going to affect. Can I say to you young people tonight, and I love young people, amen, I got saved at an early age. I got saved at the age of 11 years old. The very first time God ever dealt with my heart about preaching was at the age of 13 years old at Light on the Mountain Youth Camp. And Brother Lindsay, now I don't understand why God's letting me do what I'm doing. You say, well, what are you doing, preacher? I'm pastoring Tabernacle Baptist Church, and the ministry that we get to run is Light on the Mountain Youth Camp. What about that? All because, listen to me, all because, Brother Poindexter, I made a decision at the age of 11 years old to repent of my sin and give my life to Christ. God has blessed my life ever since that day. And can I say, I have a desire, amen, to keep the presence and the power of God on my life. I want to see that, amen. I've heard the old stories, man, Dr. Percy Ray. I've heard of all these older men of God, Brother Voles, how they've had the touch of God, how they would have the presence and the power of God. And man, when they'd walk in the room, I've heard stories, they were people that would say, man, they could just sense the presence of God when Dr. Ray would even walk in a building. Lord God, may it get on us like that. Can I say, Brother Lindsay, it's still possible in this day and hour. It's still possible, preachers, for us to have the same power of God that those older men of God had. But somebody is going to have to get desperate to go after God. I asked you a question. I'm done. Somebody in this building may be the very one that unlocks the key. Amen. Unlocks the lock. You may be the key tonight that's going to unlock the presence and the power of God in this building and in this room this week. Listen, it's vital. It's desperate time. It's desperate times, Brother Jeff, that we've got to have the presence and the power of God. But listen, nobody seems in this day and hour to really sincerely be desperate enough to go after what God has for them. What is it? Are you so distracted by the things of this world? They've got you so distracted that you don't even want to go after God? Oh, God, help us. Brother Drew, it's my desire to see God's presence and God's power on Tabernacle Baptist Church. But I want it to be on Tabernacle so bad that I want it to be so contagious that, man, I'm telling you, when you come up on that mountain next week, amen, when we leave this place this week, we want to see God do something. God do great things. God help us. I'm telling you, this is what I desire. I desire for the presence and the power of God to be so contagious, amen, that you take it back to victory. Brother Chad, he'll take it back to glory land. Brother Poindexter, take it back to life. Somebody has got to go and get God. Amen. Oh, my soul tonight. Somebody go and get God. Somebody go and get God this week. There's no telling what God wants to do in this meeting alone. If somebody will just get a hunger and a thirst after righteousness. Amen. The Bible said if you'll hunger and thirst after righteousness, the Bible said you'd be filled according to the book of Matthew. Let me ask you a question. I'm done, preacher. Come on. Do you want it? Do you want it? Do you want it? Does your church want it? Do you want it? The presence of God is vital that we have it.